रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः। बालकांड चैप्टर नंबर 4। हाउ कुशा एंड लवा सिंग द रामायण बिफोर लॉर्ड राम एंड हिज सब्जेक्ट्स। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। Valmiki, the prince of poets, composed the life of Rama when he was reigning at Ayodhya after his terrible wars with Ravana and the seer's eye bestowed on him by Brahma, the lotus-born one, aided him in the grand work of flawless diction. The 7 cantos are divided into 500 chapters and contain 24,000 verses, the Uttarakhanda included. The holy sage, out of his matchless wisdom, included in it everything that befell Rama in the distant past or was to in the remote future. Having brought the tale to an end, he cast about for someone who could commit it to memory and carry it to the ears of men. As he thus mused and prayed to the Supreme Lord to send him one who would accomplish his purpose, there came unto him 2 disciples, Kusha and Lava by name, clad in the garb of hermits, but princes by birth, and reverently touched his feet. The twins had been brought up under his watchful care and were dear unto his heart. Of sweet voice and melodious, they were gifted with marvelous faculty of retentiveness, thorough masters of the Vedas and its branches, and they were skilled in every art and science, lay or clerical, steadfast in righteousness, and strong of heart. They were chosen by Valmiki as fit instruments of his noble purpose, and unto these he taught his great epic, which he named Ramayana, or Sitaya Charitram Mahat, or Paulastya Vadha, a sweet repository of priceless wisdom enshrined in the Vedas. Sweet to recite and sweeter to sing, it gives perfect expression to every sentiment that moves the human breast, love, heroism, disgust, terror, pathos, wonder, mirth, calm and fear. They stored it within their hearts and, in obedience to the dictates of their master, sang it to large concourses of brahmanas and warriors, sages and saints, in the 3 kinds of measure and to the sweet accompaniment of stringed musical instruments. Divinely skilled in the science and art of song, golden-throated, equally adept at every musical instrument, they were thoroughly conversant with the origin and nature of notes, scales, and pitches, and with the complex science of expression. Of surpassing loveliness and faultless in form and feature, they were the living counterparts of Sri Ramachandra himself. Through many a land they traveled and sang to many an audience. And on one occasion, before the sages that were enjoying the well-earned rest during the intervals of the horse sacrifice celebrated by Rama, with streaming eyes and ravished hearts did the holy sages listen to the recital and, roused to the highest pitch of admiration, applauded them to the echo. Strangers to guile and envy, those simple souls praised in no mean terms the noble poem, the gifted author, and the incomparable singers. What charming music! What sweetness and melody of verse! And then, the vividness of narration! We seem to live and move amongst old times and scenes long gone by. The brothers themselves seem to feel the sacred thirst of fame, and excelling their previous efforts, they took their highest pitch and sang away the hearts of the listeners, for the sound was an echo to the sense. And one among them rose up and made the singers a present of his water pot, another no mean connoisseur of the noble art of poetry and music, gave them his hermit dress of bark. And thus many a time and oft did these boys recited in crowded halls and broad streets, in sacred groves and sacrificial grounds. "A rare and noble epic this, the Ramayana," cried the hearers of honeyed verses and faultless diction, beautifully adapted to music, vocal or instrumental, and charming to hear, begun and finished according to the best canons of the art. The most exacting critic cannot praise it too highly. The first of its kind, and an unapproachable ideal for all time to come. The best model for all future poets, the thrice distilled essence of the holy scriptures, the surest giver of health and happiness, length of years and prosperity to all who read or listen to it. And proficient as he are in every style of music, marvelously having sung it. It chanced one day that Rama, the older brother of Bharata, heard them recite and failed not to inform everyone of it. Raghava, the mightiest of men, invited the noble twins to the palace and showed unto them due respect, seated on a gem-encrusted throne of gold, brought down by his sire from the highest heaven of Indra, and surrounded by his loving brothers and faithful ministers. He gazed long and fondly on the boys who were the exact images of himself, and exclaimed to his wondering brothers, "Let's listen to the poem. Mark you the radiant glory that plays around these brothers. They are like gods and men. And the poem they recite, how wonderful in its suggestiveness. Let's all listen to it." And putting away all cares from his heart, Rama prepared himself to listen and directed the boys to commence. With voices of perfect accord and entrancing sweetness, faultless in note and measure, the brothers sang in melodious strains the following poem. And such the perfectness of expression and delicacy of execution that the hearers followed them with their hearts and ears, and such the marvelous power of their song that an indescribable sense of bliss gradually stole over them and pervaded their frame in every sense and faculty of theirs, strange, overpowering, and almost painful in its intensity. Then Rama addressed himself to those around him and said, "Behold these young ascetics of kingly form and mien. Rare singers are they, and of mighty spiritual energy withal. A noble poem they recite, how sweet and solacing to my wounded heart, reft of my beloved. Fail not to accord it attention meet." The boy hermits, thus directed by the world-honored king, set about singing the glorious epic in the marquee style of music. The soul-entrancing strains failed not to draw Rama from his lofty throne to take his seat amongst the audience that he might listen better to the gifted twins. Soon was he lost to everything around him, and lived and moved but in the no distant past. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdi Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarvabhaumaya Mangalam.